If you're a widow or a widower, you've probably been asked this familiar question, are you ever going to remarry? You know, there's nothing wrong with the question itself, but may I tell you how it sounds to my ears when I'm asked, and I'm only speaking for Francie here. I'm not speaking for all of widow kind out there, but it sounds like this to me. Francie, when are you going to become whole again? Or how about this? Francie, when are you going to stop being single? Or how about this one? Francie, what's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
Welcome to Keep the Heart Podcast with Francie Taylor. Francie is an author, teacher, and conference speaker known for sharing biblical insights that are practical and inspiring. Now back to today's valuable study.
Now, that last statement was meant to sound a bit off key. People don't ask me what's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this, but the mind, it hears different things. When people ask a widow or widower if they'd ever remarry, it does somewhat imply that we're stuck in the bad part of town of life and we need to do something to get out of that place. Now, guaranteed, not everyone means it that way, but it is possible for it to come across that way. Remember that perception is reality. There's a lot of truth to that statement. This may come as a surprise to some, but not all widows and widowers dislike their singlehood. Most humans despise loneliness, but there's a difference between loneliness, which is a feeling, versus being alone, which is a condition. I have experienced severe, painful bouts of loneliness, but then God comes along after I've suffered enough and He sweeps it away with His comforting presence. The presence of the Lord has never been more real than it is now, and I cherish it. And I can't imagine not having God as my principal companion in what is left of my life. The relationship is undistracted, focused, and very satisfying. Some widows and widowers do remarry. Some do not. This is a personal episode, and we'll look at the complicated things that we consider when we're trying to figure out whether we will commit to another marriage. If you're not a widow or widower, this will be informative, maybe something that you can share with a widowed friend. But if you are, you probably already know these things, so it's just a refresher. Now, if you're a new widow or widower, save this for future reference. You're not at this spot now where you're probably even considering this. But let's look at 4 points from 1 Corinthians 7 to dive into this topic, and then the 5th point will be just a closing point. First, we know that not everyone will remarry after being widowed. The Apostle Paul spoke directly to unmarried widows in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, when he said this, I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Pay attention to how the verse begins. The first 3 words, I say, therefore, give us a clue that this is Paul's opinion, not a direct mandate from God. We already know that God did not say that people cannot remarry. God is for marriage. So this is Paul speaking personally. There isn't a complete description of what the times were like at the point when this letter was written to the church at Corinth, but we do know that they were living in distressing times because it says so in verse 26 of chapter 7. It was these disturbances that made singlehood somewhat preferable at that time. But we can't take this too far and try to make a case for saying that widows and widowers should not remarry, because that's not what the scripture is saying. That would be a misinterpretation of this chapter. But what we can take away from 1 Corinthians is this. Here's a thought. Some people are set apart by God to serve Him better by remaining single. Some are, but not all. A pastor friend of mine said to me once, Francie, Paul said it's good for widows to stay that way. Now, to give you context of this conversation, the topic of whether or not I would ever remarry had become dinner table discussion. It was in my dining room. It was kind of a comfortable, relaxed evening with 8 people at the table, and he made this observation with everyone else present. What could I say? I knew the verse the pastor was referencing, but I chose to go mute, and I just nodded my head. Now, remember this about head nodding. It does not always signal agreement. Sometimes it's sign language for you're entitled to that opinion. I'm a really good head nodder. But this verse in the Bible is truth. It is good for an unmarried person to stay that way if they choose, or if that's what they believe God wants for their life. Don't feel as though you have to defend being single, but likewise, don't feel as though you need the approval from everyone if you decide to remarry. We're not better if we do or if we do not. There is no superior status here, but what we do want to do is choose wisely. We also want to be careful with what we say about this topic to others. Those who are in favor of remarriage don't need anyone raining on them with tart comments like, well, I'll never do that. And those who truly believe it would be better for them to remain single should not be criticized by those who prefer to be married. Number two in the big remarriage question, physical temptation is a big risk for some. The Apostle Paul gives a qualifier to his previous statement. Listen to verse 8 in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better for them to marry than to burn. Okay, Paul, tell us how you really feel about the matter. He just threw it right out there. This is a bold and honest acknowledgement of the reality that humans have passions and passions can burn. I love Paul's transparency. But wait, do we all have a problem with our passions? Actually, no. That's why the verse begins with the words, but if. Some are really fine alone and it doesn't cause a four-alarm fire in their being. Others are not fine, and they long for that relationship with another person, including the beautiful intimacy of the physical relationship. Physical intimacy is a gift from God, and within the bounds of marriage, there is a beauty and a purity to it that is indescribable. Now, by the way, if you have children listening to this episode, because I've often been told when I'm out at conferences that people listen to my podcasts and their children listen while they're listening. If you have children listening to this episode with you, this is a good time to press pause, unless you'd like to have an extra class in your homeschool curriculum called What is Human Passion and Why Does It Burn? Don't say I didn't warn you. Press pause and remove the littles. There. Now that you've done that, we need to look at some key words in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. Contain and the word burn. The word contain in this verse basically means to exercise self-restraint. It also means to be temperate or self-controlled. Clearly, this is in reference to controlling oneself in the presence of temptation. Being alone with someone to whom you're attracted while you're not married to them could really present some passion-stirring temptations. Why would we start something that we can't rightfully finish? It's not only unkind to do this, but it's also very unloving. So this verse gives the solution. If the physical desire to be married is so strong that it literally can't be ignored, then it's better to marry than to burn. But what does burn mean in this case? Well, according to Strong's Concordance, to burn is to be inflamed with anger, grief, or lust. Do you know what? For a widow or widower, we've probably experienced all three of these emotions. Inflamed by anger that our spouses are gone and we would still be married if they hadn't passed away. Inflamed by grief because it doesn't go away. And just because the calendar said it's been a lot of years doesn't mean that we're all better. And then inflamed with lust because healthy people who had healthy physical relations with their spouses miss that deeply. If it weren't for the grace of God, we would totally go up in smoke, poof, a pile of ashes. I have to agree with Paul. Getting married is not a sin nor a crime. Although since Paul is speaking personally, I will do the same by saying this. You will need more than passion to marry again. No relationship thrives on passion alone. Beware of allowing mere physical attraction to be the driving decision in remarriage. Physical appearances and abilities change over time, but when a person walks with God, that godliness will not fade with age. Number three, unmarried men are free to focus on pleasing the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 33, Paul addresses the unmarried versus the married men. It says this, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." Once again, we need to pay close attention to the wording so that we won't read more into it than is intended. "But I would have you" are the first four words of verse 32. Paul only knew singlehood, but he did have a lifetime to observe other marriages, most likely including the marriage of his own parents. How many of you who are listening to this episode are married to people who are so busy you rarely spend time together? Do you resent that, or are you okay with that? Have you grown into that? Or how many of you are wrestling with ministry duties that never seem to end? Would you feel still so very worn out if you could have some time alone to rest and recharge your batteries between demands? I know that when I come home from a conference and I am literally spent, I mean poured out from teaching anywhere from 5 to 7 times over a weekend, I love walking into the quiet of my home. But in all honesty, I run from that same quiet when I've had too much of it. God knows what we truly need, and we are so wise if we'll seek Him for direction rather than just making up our own minds about something so important as this. A married man has married man cares. An unmarried man is just an older version of his younger self, hopefully wiser, but with only the cares of how to please the Lord with his life. This is important to note. When a man walks with God, he never walks alone. But when a man has a distant or non-existent relationship with God, he may try to find satisfaction in others, and that is a fruitless search. People cannot be what God is meant to be in our lives. And number four says the same thing for women. Unmarried women are free to focus on pleasing the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, we read this, "There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Women face the same dilemma as men. If we're married, we're going to worry about marriage things. If we're single, we're free to focus exclusively on whatever God has for us to do. The deeper our walk with God, the more we sense His companionship. It's a holy bond that includes both body and spirit. This is how a single person, widow or widower, is able to go through life without a mate and yet is not discontented. God is so big in our lives that He fills all the voids. It's truly beyond human comprehension, but it is real. I can vividly recall being wrapped up in the dailies with my Norman H. Taylor when I was married and he was alive. What kind of bread did he want? Beef, steak, rye. Were his shirts at the dry cleaners? Were they ready? Pick them up before he runs out of clean shirts. Was I spending more money than I should? Hide the evidence. Okay, that last one was just tongue-in-cheek. But fast forward to almost 7 years later, and my life is consumed with ministry, both at home and away. I co-teach a Sunday Bible class of college young women. My home is a combination of family hot spot, a hotel for friends to stay at for no charge, and a rotational ministry center with everything from small group Bible studies to impromptu dinners for 8. I now have conferences all the way till December some years, but when my Norman was alive, he didn't want me traveling to teach in December. The cutoff was early November. After that, he wanted me home with him and the family until the end of January, even though our children were grown. We had a marriage that worked for us, and I truly miss it. But that part of my life story is finished now. Grief hasn't ended, but God has softened the rough edges of it. I'm now free to focus on serving the Lord with immense flexibility. Paul has a valid point. It is easier to serve the Lord when you're single than when you're married, but that doesn't mean that a person shouldn't marry. God is all for marriage, even if Paul states his case for the option to remain single. And finally, number 5, don't confuse loneliness with a desire to remarry. Loneliness is a compelling and insistent emotion, and it is possible to confuse the desire to remarry with the desire to erase loneliness. The desire to remarry should be about the needs of the other person. Pray and don't feel like you need to rush any relationships. Prayer is the power tool that God has given us to speak to Him about these issues of life. Praying until you have an answer may take time, but what's the hurry? We're here for a certain number of days, and then it's our turn to leave. Until that time, we have all the time God grants us. Never rush decisions. Always pray. Once we've prayed, we wait for God to guide us. And while we're waiting, there's plenty to do. If you're a widow or widower wondering about remarriage, expect it to bring a lot of mixed feelings and so many unanswered questions, and they just can't be resolved all in one sitting. Do you both own homes? Who moves to which home? Are you both active in your churches? Which church will you attend if you marry? Do you have adult children? What will they think of you adding a person to the family in the place that used to belong to their mom or dad? How does any of this even work? All these questions and more are totally normal and a great cause for honest and open discussions. If someone is interested enough in trying to marry you, they need to communicate clearly about these genuine issues. Beware of someone who simply says, "Oh, who cares? It'll all work out." If there was ever a time to care about a decision, this is it. Memories of our previous spouses will be with us for the rest of our lives. But if God wants to add another chapter to our life stories in the form of another mate, He has also equipped us to love again. When we walk with God, He enlarges our hearts so that there's always more room to love. So, should a widow remarry? She should pray about this important question. Don't apply pressure and don't allow pressure. Prayer and waiting are inseparable, so plan to pray and wait for wisdom and guidance from the Lord. Should a widower remarry? He should also pray and not assume that he must fill the spot with anyone who has a pulse. He must also combine prayer with waiting. Here's a great closing verse from John 13:34, reminding us that in any human relationship, love is meant to be completely sacrificial. It says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another."
You've been listening to Keep the Heart with Francie Taylor. Subscribe to this podcast and follow Keep the Heart on Instagram. Visit the shop at keeptheheart.com for Bible studies, books, and more, along with Francie's conference event calendar. Visit keeptheheart.com today. Thank you for listening.